Good afternoon and welcome to the Design Review Board hearing of Tuesday, April 9th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chair Branch.
Here.
Member Whalen.
Here.
Member DeGasis.
Here.
Member Brown.
Here.
Member Iman.
Here.
Member King.
Here.
Member White.
Here.
And Member Clinton is absent.
And now we'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, the public will have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Do we have any speaker slips and or hands up online?
I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom that wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. Next is the review of agenda. Mary?
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members. No changes on the agenda today. Everything's being heard. We do have a couple of recusals, and I'll let members mention that right before the clerk reads the item.
Okay. Very good. Then we'll go to item A2, which is the review and approval of the Design Review Board minutes for March 12th. Can I get a motion for that?
I'll move to approve the minutes.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment on these minutes from the last meeting. Under the 5999 Hollister Avenue, it says point number 6, giving the following input. It is deceiving to call this a market instead of signage should reflect dispensary. And that relates to a comment that I think I made, and that was not the intent of the comment. The comment was that there should be some consistency in terms of what they call themselves. On the plans, for example, there were 3 different names, and it was just my thought that if we're approving something, there should be some consistency to it. I don't really care what they call themselves.
Okay. I would throw in that, if I remember correctly, I believe Jonathan also brought up the point of it saying market and not having the word dispensary in there was misleading. Am I correct in that? Mm-hmm. So both points are valid, I think. So I think we can leave that in there.
I'll approve the amended.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Second.
All right, we'll vote with roll call.
Chair Branch?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Yes.
Member Iman?
Yes.
Member King?
Aye.
Member White?
Aye.
Okay, that will take us to our conceptual preliminary final calendar. Item B1?
Item B1. 271 North Fairview Avenue, APN 077-170-042, complete care at home signage with California Environmental Quality Act notice of exemption utilizing section 15311 and 24-0001-ZC and 24-0003-DRB.
Okay, very good. Declarations from the board. Jim?
One visitation, no ex parte.
I have visited the site, had no ex parte discussions.
I have not visited recently, but I've been there a million times, and no ex parte.
Site visit, 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 no ex parte.
All right, very good. Christina, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. The project before you today is for a new wall sign for Complete Care at Home. The sign is located at 271 North Fairview Avenue. This is located in the Fairview Shopping Center, and as you may recall from a couple meetings ago, all signs within Fairview Shopping Center, even if they do comply with our overall sign plan, it's required for review under the DRB. That hasn't been amended as of yet. I do want to point out that the sign does comply with the overall sign plan. The overall sign plan for this tenant at Fairview Shopping Center allows for 75% of the store frontage length to a maximum of 55 feet. This sign is 14 feet 1 inches in width. Length. So it would be, it's approximately 25% of the store frontage. So it's well below what would be allowed in the overall sign plan. It also meets all of the requirements in the city's adopted Title 17. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Chair Branch.
Okay, very good. Why don't you guys turn the mic on and introduce yourselves and present your project. There you go.
My name is Peter Godinez. I work for Vogue Signs, but I consider my domain the Tri-Chem as I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and I know there's some alumni behind me. So if there's anything else, let me know.
I'm Carolyn Igen. I'm the owner of Complete Care at Home.
Great. Thank you. Okay, please present.
I'm a big talker, so I'll try to say as little as I can. I have studied this, and I really believe I've met all the requirements. And unless you have any questions, it's a non-illuminated sign. And they really do need the sign because they still have people coming in for medical type things. So it's real important that we start to advertise that they don't take people who are suffering, but their businesses.
Well, we do take people who are suffering. We've had a significant number of people come in bleeding or injured who expect the med center to be there.
Right.
So we're trying to eliminate the confusion.
Okay.
So we appreciate that.
Okay.
Just to summarize, I believe I've met all the requirements. I've met a lot of your people, and hopefully they still like me. So I'll leave
okay.
it at that.
Very good. Very good. All right. It's a pretty straightforward submittal. Let's combine questions and comments. Jim?
I have no questions, no comments.
Okay. Dennis?
Yes, currently there's a banner with the identical proposed. It looks to be about 10% smaller. Now, I know you've designed the sign within the regulations, but personally, I feel that the smaller sign fits better aesthetically on the building face, and if it's no difference to you, I would recommend it be the exact same size as your banner. Thank you.
Martha?
I could agree with that, reducing it ever so slightly, but I think all in all, the logo looks real nice, and the colors and the font and everything look quite handsome.
Jonathan?
I think it looks very handsome and certainly will help people understand where they're going.
Cecilia?
Could I ask staff just to blow that up a little bit?
Did you want it? There's two copies if you want it.
No, okay. No, I just wanted to see. Yeah, I just wanted some clarity for the sign. It's a handsome sign. Whatever. It's a good sign. Whatever. The majority of the board thinks I'll go with them. Get it approved. No, it's a very handsome sign. I like it.
Okay. Elizabeth?
No comments.
You're good with the sign. I'm completely good with it as is. If you wanted to, the comment that Member Whelan made about reducing it a little bit, sure. That would add a little bit of negative space around it, but from my perspective, that's to your discretion. I think it looks... It's quite approvable as is, so. Do we have any public comment?
I have no public speaker slips for this item. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. Then someone want to take a shot at a motion?
Well, I guess I should, to see if it, the members will support it or not, I would propose that the project be approved as submitted with the condition that it be reduced about 10% to equal the size of the existing banner.
I'd second that.
Any discussion? Into the mic, please.
Do a roll call.
We're doing the roll call on the 10% reduction. A yes for that motion for 10% reduction, no to stay with the sign.
Okay.
Chair Branch?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Yes.
Member Iman?
No.
Member King?
Aye.
Member White?
No.
So that was the majority. So, and that was just for the reduction of that, separate from the approval of the project? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I suppose that would be the same, but if we could just take a motion, go around and vote on the item itself at 10%, approximately 10% reduction.
And this is for final.
Yes.
With the comment. Okay. Vote again, please.
Chair Branch.
Yes.
Member Whalen.
Yes.
Member DeGasis.
Yes.
Member Brown.
Yes.
Member Iman.
Yes.
Member King.
Aye.
Member White.
Aye.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, guys.
Do you want to keep these?
No, you can take those. Okay, that will take us to item B2.
Item B2, 420 South Fairview Avenue, APN 071-130-061, Magna signage with California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption, utilizing section 15311, and 24-0013-ZC and 24-0008-DRB.
Very good. Declarations for this. Jim?
One visitation, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit and no ex parte.
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, very good. Christina, again, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. The project before you today is for a single wall sign located at 420 South Fairview Avenue. This center also has an overall sign plan. This one is called the Fairview Corporate Center. And this actually has a little bit more substance to it involving this sign. There are several factors that need to be complied with in order to be compliant with the overall sign plan. One of the couple of requirements that this sign does not meet, which is why it's in front of you, is that the letter height and the logo height exceed what's allowed. The logo can be a maximum of 24 inches high. The proposed logo is 29 inches in height, so that exceeds it by 5 inches. And the letter height for this, the maximum that is allowed for the overall sign plan is 20 inches. It's 18 inches, while they've proposed 20 inches. So they've exceeded that by 2 inches. The other portions of the overall sign plan, such as the length of the sign, the mounting, the whether or not it's illuminated or not, all of those provisions are applicable to this sign, and they does meet the overall sign plan for that. It does meet Title 17 of our sign ordinance. So the reason it's in front of you today is because of the excess height in the logo and letter height.
And does it meet the criteria of area?
It does.
Okay. Okay. Introduce yourself and present. There you go.
Hello, Vasantha Mohotige with Visual Image Designs.
You can
pull. Let me, I'll pull here.
You can pull that closer.
Okay. All right. So I'm proposing individual letters, stainless steel letters on the wall. And like she said, it's 29 inches in height, the logo, and the letter is 20 inches, and replacing their existing sign on the wall.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Oh. That everything?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And this is the sign, and this is where it's going.
And I'm sorry, I forget. Illuminated or no?
Non-illuminated.
Non-illuminated, okay. Okay. Questions? Jim, do you have any questions for the applicant?
No, I have no questions.
Dennis?
Yes, a couple of questions, please. It seems clear from the proposal what stainless steel that
yes.
is, the Magna.
Yes.
But the M does not appear to be no
painted. Yes, painted.
Painted, and what color is that?
The black.
Black with a red dot
yes,
over
yes.
it.
Right here. The
back. And a question for staff. When I read the signed ordinance, I believe it said that letters were to be dark bronze. The staff, can staff comment on that, or did I misread it?
I believe that this sign is before you because it doesn't comply with the overall sign plan. And remember, some of these sign plans were constructed a while ago.
Right.
And as long as it meets our current sign code, it can come to you for consideration. So certainly you can look at colors for compatibility, but that's why it's here before you.
Okay, so it wasn't just the sign, but it was just overall compatibility.
Correct.
All right, thank you. That's all I have.
Questions?
My questions.
I have no questions. Martha?
Maybe Ms. McGuire could answer. Is the existing sign that's on the building, the height of that existing sign is slightly smaller than the height of this sign? Is there a way for you to know that?
Thank you for the question, Member DeGasis. Unfortunately, I don't have that information in front of me. We do have photos. That might help us with that. Does the applicant have the photos available?
Yes, but
yep.
Roughly I would say about 2 inches bigger than the existing.
Yours is 2 inches bigger than the
existing.
Roughly,
yes, I would say that.
Okay. Okay, Jonathan, any questions?
That's blurry.
No questions.
Cecilia?
No questions.
Okay, Elizabeth?
No questions.
All right, comments, Jim?
No questions.
Dennis?
Yes, once again, I feel the sign is just a bit overscaled, and perhaps it should, the letters should equal the size of the existing. I'm a bit flexible on this, but overall, I think, again, it should be 5% to 10% smaller to allow more breathing space within the architectural face that it sits within.
Martha?
I agree with Member Whalen. I think it should be very slightly reduced. I think the sign that is on the building now is very readable even from the street, so I think if it were slightly reduced, it would be a benefit.
Jonathan?
I could support it as presented.
Cecilia?
I agree with that.
Elizabeth?
I like what's being presented.
I'm a little indifferent. I could go with it either way. So if the applicant wanted to reduce it, I'm okay with that. If they wanted to leave it as presented, that's fine. I think I agree with Martha. I think it's very readable. The existing sign is very readable, and if we presume that it's at the maximum allowable height, that works well. So do we have any public comment?
I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom that wish to speak on this item, please raise your hand, and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. Someone want to enter a motion?
I would move that we approve the sign as presented with the slight change that it be reduced in scale to equal the height of the sign that is existing on the building, with the staff findings and CEQA exemption.
Okay.
I'll second that motion with a clarification that the lettering equal the size of the existing so that the red dot could exceed that size.
Acceptable?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, so what is the size of the existing? We don't really know, do we?
No, we don't.
So it could be 8?
Apparently a roughly 2 inches smaller than what is being presented.
Pardon the interruption, board members. Just one clarification on this. If the letter height is reduced to 18 inches, it's currently proposed at 20 inches, and the logo is reduced to 26 inches, then the sign is no longer in your purview. It's just a zoning clearance because it meets the overall sign plan of the... Oh, I forgot about the bronze letters. Sorry. Yeah. Still in your purview.
Okay.
I'm okay with 19 inch if it's okay with your letter height.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Amend the motion.
So I move that we approve the sign and logo as presented with the stipulation that the lettering be 19 inches in height and that the materials as presented are acceptable with the staff findings and CEQA exemption.
Pardon the interruption while the motion's on the table. I just wanted clarification on the height of the logo. The letter height is...
14, and the logo will be proportionally reduced. So I can mathematically give you some estimate.
Yeah, why don't we just say it reduces proportionally to the letters being at 19.
I move that we approve the project or the sign as submitted with the materials as submitted, but that the height of the lettering be 19 inches and the logo proportionately reduced to...
Roughly about 27 inches.
Okay.
Be approximately 27.55 inches.
Overall.
Yeah.
And including the staff findings and CEQA exemption.
Sorry.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. So sorry.
That's okay. We're voting. So roll call, please.
Chair Branch.
Yes.
Member Whalen.
Yes.
Member DeGasis.
Yes.
Member Brown.
Yes.
Member Iman.
Yes.
Member King.
Aye.
Member White.
Yes.
Okay, very Thank good. You. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're flying through this. Okay, item C1.
Item C1, 7170 Davenport Road, APN 073-230-050, Pacific Oak Apartments Leasing Office Addition and Site Improvements, and California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption, case numbers 23-0002-SCD and 23-0013-DRB.
Chair Brandt, I have to recuse myself from this item.
Okay, very good. Declarations, Jim?
No visitation, no ex parte.
I have visited the site and with no ex parte discussions.
Virtual site visit, no ex parte?
Site visit and no ex parte.
I've seen this project at the design review board before. Different project, but same property. So I'm familiar with the site, although I haven't made an updated site visit.
Okay. Elizabeth?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, very good. Travis, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. The project before you today is for conceptual and preliminary approval of a 213 gross, 189 net square foot addition and remodel of the existing 409 square foot single-story leasing office at 7170 Davenport Road, known as Pacific Oaks. The project also proposes color changes to existing apartment buildings and site improvements such as new walkways, new trash enclosures, stormwater improvements, exterior lighting fixtures, new landscaping, and a new dog area. This project is part of a substantial conformity determination, so it's before you today for conceptual and preliminary review. Once the director approves a substantial conformity determination, it will return to your review for final. That concludes staff's presentation. Staff and the applicant are available for any questions. Thank you.
Okay, great. Steve, you have the floor.
Thank you. Steve Fort with Suzanne Elledge Planning and Permitting. Here with us today is Darren Cabral and Scott Nyman from RRM. And I think online, on Zoom as necessary, we have our client Derek Hansen with the Tobes Group. I also believe Dan Kinney, our civil engineer with RRM, is online, and possibly some other folks from Tobes Group, like property manager and those folks. I think Travis got it all. We're processing a substantial conformity determination. Very similar project. Some of you may recall Patterson Place from a couple of years ago. A refresh and an update to one of the Tobes Group's multifamily residential projects to take them into the future and, you know, update and refresh the landscaping, the paint, and really, like Mr. Lee said, the only structural, architectural work is the addition to the office, which is about 200 square feet, gross or net. And you also might notice in the plans, too, is that we are not doing any site work in the 100-foot streamside protection area, because that requires a conditional use permit if you meet certain triggers of disturbing the ground, which are very low, and we don't want to. We're not processing that CUP at this time. We may come back in the future and do that. That goes to the Planning Commission, obviously. SED is at director level. So just wanted to point that out, and I'll hand it off to the team if they just want to, I think, probably focus on the office and some of the site work.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Hey, thank you. Good afternoon. Darren Cabral, architect with RM Design Group. And like Steve said, I'm here to do a little bit of focus on the leasing office. So like Steve said, we're doing about a 200 square foot addition to the leasing office. We're adding one office and one restroom to that building and doing a little reorganization within that space. We've kept the architecture in keeping with the original design. Last time we were here, we discussed a slight push in the wall to keep that styling consistent. We've done that. We also talked about the awning, revising the awning to be a bit more consistent with the original intent of the design, which we did when you see now. I think that's about the items we talked about for the leasing office. And then previously when we were here, we talked about some color choices, and we have made some changes to the proposed colors of the building to remove sort of the dark elevations and lighten those elevations up, and that's another change you see. And then the last item that architecture related was the question of the doors and the residences, and we proposed those as pistachio for all of them. No orange. I believe we had orange doors before, a little stark, so now we're going to a very light neutral color in keeping with all the color schemes.
Chair Branch, could we have you flip the architect flip the pages as you're speaking of the items that you're...
Yes.
So we can...
So many.
I think there's an elevation there. Yes.
Yeah, so here's the office elevation that we were speaking of, the existing office at the top and the proposed office elevation at the bottom. And then...
Very good.
A couple more pages, we can get into some of the color schemes. There's a couple of pages back here. We can get to the actual color schemes themselves with the colors proposed. There's one, two more pages to get there. A lot of pages here. I think There we are. This is the color scheme for the office, one of the color schemes for the project, and then this represents the color scheme, second color scheme for the, or the color schemes for the buildings themselves.
Okay, very good.
That's all I have. And I'll turn it over to Scott.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Scott Nyman, landscape architect with RRM Design Group. So our big goal for the site design, I'm going to flip over here, was to transition us from, you know, the world of garden apartments in the 60s and 70s, where it was just large tracts of lawn in between the different apartment buildings, to something that's a little more sensitive to our current climate and our water use requirements. So we're trying to consolidate a lot of the use areas to really specific areas. So if we're going to have something like lawn or amenity spaces, we're going to keep them consolidated and focused. So we have some targeted amenity areas distributed throughout the site. Some of them are for passive recreation, barbecuing, those kinds of things in the summer. Oh, excellent. So some are targeted for amenities, and then others are for our four-legged friends. So we actually have, because this is a pet-friendly apartment, we have a couple off-leash pet areas that are going to be provided. And we have some specific direction on those. So we've been providing a bark mulch, which is, I know, not everyone's favorite. There's nothing that's perfect. We'd love if it could be natural lawn, but there's a lot of maintenance requirements that go along with that, and really tough to maintain in a small area, right? Getting a mower in there, it's tough. So right now, bark mulch seems like the best candidate for something that can be refreshed, and then the fencing around it would be, we have images of that also, the wood post with wire fencing. So we got that comment. There's not going to be any metal fencing for the dog areas, and they'll be consistent. Other than that, enhanced entry experience when we come in to help kind of announce that that's the office and the place you're actually supposed to stop. Right now it looks pretty similar to the other residential buildings, so we're trying to help kind of announce that entry to make it more clear. And then selective editing of the tree canopy across the site based on the arborist report. Those are the main highlights. We've also done some modifications to the lighting plan based on the previous comments we've received. Things like avoiding light spill, providing bug ratings, and confirming that, which is an acronym I didn't know before, but talks about the, you know, the glare and the backlighting. Yeah, backlight, uplight, glare, yeah. So they're all good from that standpoint, and we confirmed that they're all dark sky compliant. Okay, so those are the highlights for landscape. Okay. And we can flip to those sheets if you want to look at anything more specifically. Do you want to look at any of the specific, like the lighting plan?
Would you like to see the planting plan?
I think the planting plan is conceptual at this point, if I understand that it's the sheet, the L1.
Yes, highly conceptual.
So, and then do you want to talk a little bit about the tree removals? And I mean, I know the arborist report was pretty extensive, but I don't know, for the benefit of the public or the other members, if you want to maybe discuss some other replacement trees or
absolutely. Kind of thing. So there's a few different strategies that we look at when we're thinking about tree editing. So it's an emotional thing. Everybody loves mature trees, including us, especially landscape architects. So it's a challenge when we get an arborist report back telling us that a lot of these big, beautiful trees aren't healthy, aren't performing well, and don't have a good prognosis, you know, for the next 5 to 10 years. So this drawing, if you look at it, there's kind of two layers to it. One is the color of the canopies, the irregular circles. That's the existing canopy, and that color is tied into these three colors on the side here, which indicates the preservation status from the arborist report. So green indicates their good health and, you know, looking good for health, structure, all the things we want to hear. And then the orange and the red indicate that they're moderate or poor. So we tried to keep as many of the green, healthy tree canopies that we could, and then only the orange and red indicating moderate or poor condition trees were being considered for removal. Most of those trees that were in bad condition, you know, we're talking about Maytén trees, Pyrus kamakamii ornamental pear, they're usually moderate, high water use trees that were kind of on, you know, life support in our climate, right? They needed a lot of supplemental water that came with existing in those big lawn areas. when those lawn areas go away, they're definitely not going to be, even if they're moderate now, they're going to have a lot more trouble performing in the future. So we're replacing them with, let's go to this sheet here. Thank you very much. Some fan favorites, right? So these should look pretty familiar. These are all happy in our climate. So we have Coast Live Oak, Western Redbud, Swan Hill Olive, Peppermint Willow, Arbutus Marina, and then where we have a lot of screening requirements, this Saratoga Laurel has been a great performer for evergreen screening. So we're slowly transitioning to a more drought-tolerant, low water use canopy.
Okay, great. So let's go to questions. Jim, do you have any questions about the project?
Yeah, actually I do. In terms of the tree replacement, tree planting, what is your time frame on that? In other words, if you remove the trees, are they going to be taken away immediately, or are they going to be left there on the property for a period of time? And then in terms of the plantings, how soon will the plantings take place after the tree removals?
It would be, thanks, Member King. It would be all in the same construction process. We'd get a...
I know it's in the same process. I'm asking you for a time.
From the time, that, I mean, construction overall would take what for this project? Maybe
about 12 months.
12 months?
So you're probably looking at
the first couple of months of the construction process for tree removal, because what comes along with tree removal would be repair of sidewalks and damage that those trees sometimes roots can cause, let alone the trees falling. So we're probably looking at the first couple of months as some tree removal. You're looking at some improvements to the site, irrigation, other improvements to the site, and then plantings. The trees will likely not come back at the end of the site. They'll want to have them established usually 2 or 3 months before the project is complete, so they know the irrigation is running. So you're probably, my estimate would say 6 to 8 months.
6 to 8 months.
6 to 8 months would be my estimate. I mean, I could be completely off on the timing, but that's what my estimate would be on removal and then replacement with trees.
Thank you.
Dennis, any questions?
Yes, when this project came up on our agenda, it was deja vu all over again. I want to thank the applicants for reminding us they had been here. I had inquired from staff of what our comments were previously, and they earnestly tried to find those minutes. Ms. Chang, were you successful?
We were not, because we believe there were no minutes. Well, I don't think the last substantial conformity determination triggered DRB. It was something to do with the clubhouse combining.
We didn't have a chance. Only that didn't go in the record.
Right.
Okay.
It didn't.
Yeah.
We'd searched DRB and we realized it didn't go to DRB because it didn't
Mr.
need
Ford?
To.
Mr. Ford?
Yeah. Are you referring to about a year ago when we were here, or a previous project? Because
no,
we were here about a year,
no,
maybe last summer.
This project.
It
we
was
remember
this project.
I don't know if there were specific notes taken, but we had notes that we took, and we were speaking to those. Actually, these guys were addressing some of those comments about colors.
It sounded familiar.
Doors.
So. Very good.
Then, at the risk of repeating myself, I have a few more questions. At the office driveway, is that driveway moving?
The curb cut.
No.
Whoop, I should speak
we're,
in here.
We're adjusting.
It is not. The curb cut is not moving.
We're adjusting one interior curb line because currently it's a 90 degree, which is kind of a no-no.
Right.
Okay. So we're rounding that out, but otherwise we're pretty much maintaining the same, the same location.
So it's a bit of an optical illusion because it looks like it's moving.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that. And then what is the purpose of the 150 cubic yards of export in terms of landscape? That was in the staff report.
I believe it's mostly some basins and landscape basins.
Retention
for stormwater.
Basins. That makes sense.
Very good. those are all of my questions. Thank you, Chair Branch.
Okay, Martha, any questions?
Can you maybe just go over for everyone's benefit some of the treatment that you have in the front entry for the enhancement there? Is that pavers or?
Yeah.
I think it shows pretty well on that layout plan there.
Get into some imagery, or you want to do
I think we've got
imagery specific.
Okay. So here's a rendering of one of our early concepts, which is pretty consistent with what we're proposing now. So if you look at the site now, it's a curb cut coming in off the street, asphalt drive, and it just loops right into parking. It's not really clear where you're kind of supposed to stop, and there isn't any delineation for pedestrians. So our goal is to, oh gosh, this is so disorienting looking at it upside down. Our goal is to, so here's where you're driving in. We're trying to create this transition point where we create some type of textured paving. This might just be, you know, a really rough acid wash concrete, kind of at a minimum condition. At a maximum condition, we'd like to explore some textured actual pavers, like concrete pavers or even like a cobblestone. So it's one step towards traffic calming. In addition to that, we're introducing some planters around the edges to help define and announce that space a bit better, and just introduce a little bit of height and separation for the pedestrian activities around that area.
Cool.
I think that one shows, that one shows it best.
Mm-hmm. And then on a slightly different subject, there's a number of canary pines there, and I didn't really examine the tree removal plan too carefully. Are they all going away?
Not all of them, but a lot of them are.
Okay. We had. And I noticed some were very close to buildings, and as were a lot of the carrot woods and Brazilian peppers and so on. So I think all your removals make a lot of sense given the age of the project and so on. So
You can see there's a few remaining stands of Pinus canariensis here and here, which is great because those are the big corners of the site, you know, from a vehicular perspective. So we're able to retain some of that maturity of canopy there, which is we're really happy about that.
That blends well with the Hollister corridor too, down the street with the Camino Real and so on. So yeah, I think it's all very sensible and it looks quite nice.
Thank you.
Cecilia, any questions?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I would just like to make a comment for staff. You know, I appreciate your sending the, we see the agendas, but when you start compressing these documents, because I guess there's takes a long time to download them, when we look at them on our little screens at home, so don't have these big screens like you have at the office, right? You've got little laptop screens. You can't say much. It's really hard to see this material. Anyway, so we depend upon you to bring on the documents so we can use our little magnifying glass to look at them. So my only question is, and I thank you for outlining the information I requested, but I have a question on the on page L12. There is a light SC. It's a, I guess it's an under canopy. Light, and I'm not sure what it's right down here in the lower right-hand corner.
The surface amount of light under the canopy.
And I noticed that there is some light, a very small amount of light trespass, and I'm not sure why that would be. Just, I don't know.
It's a.
Can I jump in? Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Member Brown.
Yeah.
It's a under carport canopy light.
Oh, okay. So
and we've been discussing that, similar to the last project I brought to you guys, SB Humane, that we'll either shield it or just point it away from the entrance and fix that 0.2-foot candle.
So currently there is no fascia surrounding the. There's no fascia to.
I don't believe so.
It's a flat surface.
Okay, it's a flat surface. So these canopy lights are flush mounted.
Surface mounted,
but they're not recessed.
Correct.
So on this one particular one down here, you're going to have to do a fascia on the
right.
Shield that light.
Shield.
Okay.
Good. And thank you for the information.
No problem.
I appreciate that. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. Elizabeth?
No questions.
All right. I don't have any questions. Let's go to comments. Let's reverse it. Any comments, Elizabeth?
No comments.
Okay. Cecilia?
No, my only comment is I like what you're doing here. Particularly the office, I think that's good. I think the paint colors for the, hang on, these on sheet A8, the proposed type 1 and proposed type 2. I just think it makes these end units kind of stand out, and I prefer to see them kind of not stand out. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that, but I'm okay with the other color combinations. And my only comment would be is that there will be shielding of that light at the southern, is that the southern end of that carport? Is that the south? Southern south, end? Southeast, right.
Yeah.
That last light, okay. Good, thank you.
Martha, comments?
Let's see. I think the paint colors look pretty good. It's a little hard for me to tell without a paint chip on that pistachio green, whether it looks like you're rendering on the elevation or if it looks like the little square on the, it'd be great when you come back if you could bring the paint chip, because it could be a creepy color or a nice color. It's hard to tell. And I think the layout plan looks great. I look forward to seeing the planting plan, you know, with the shrubbery designated and all that. And the tree sizes, I think, are going to be important, especially with some of those west-facing buildings there. And you're proposing nothing to be done with the little creek thing? That's just going to remain as it is, basically?
In the stream offset area?
The little stream thing.
Oh, yes, correct. So that is being, well, we're looking at that whole space. So the creek itself is going to get built constructed water feature is going to get waterproofed and resealed. But we're looking at the planting around it in a totally different way. Right now, it's just grass going up to it. So we're going to look at reeds and trying to make it more.
Yeah, I think that'll help mask that edge that looks kind of worn out. So, okay. And other than that, I think it looks very nice.
Okay. Dennis, comments?
Thank you, Chair Branch. First of all, I'm happy to see this project return and that there is some prospect for it moving forward. I fully realize how difficult it is to deal with one of these charming 60s or 70s buildings. No matter what color you paint it, it's still going to look like a regrettable era in architectural design. But that said, the colors, the attention to details, such as the trash enclosure and the landscape plan, really restore my faith in what you're doing here. I do have a comment and probably an issue with the Corten steel planters. They seem a bit out of character. They're kind of sharp-edged in a building that is more soft in character. And if you are to, I'm not faulting you for choosing them because the plant palette may mitigate their hard edges, but there are some obtuse angles or acute angles that look like they could actually hurt. Or if you ran your car into it or a cart or something, that they're not going to accept damage very readily over the long term. And these things, as they self-imply, they stain. So your one example here on sheet L3, you'll notice that it has a rock base around it because that rust is going to run down and stain your concrete and your beautifully executed concrete patterns and all of that. So be very careful about how you render those, the steel plates and Corten. Also, it might be a skateboard hazard. I'm always sensitive to skateboards zooming all over it. There again. Was there something else, Miss? Did I miss something? No, you didn't. Okay. No, that's fine. Thank you.
Jim, any comments?
No, I have nothing.
Okay. I support everything anybody else said. I think it's fine as proposed. So do we have any speaker slips?
I have no speaker slips. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom that wish to speak on this item, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. Then with that, we need a motion, and as far as we can go is preliminary because they have to go back for the SCD.
Yep, Chair Branch. Just want to clarify, this is a recommendation for approval to the director.
To the zoning director, okay. Okay, so the maker of the motion, keep that in mind.
I move that we send the project to the zoning administrator with a recommendation that they approve it as we have seen it, and that the clients come back, or applicants come back with construction documents.
And just a correction, it is going to the director.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Planning director.
Okay. Can we get a second?
Sure, I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes, I wanted to add one final comment of praise that the office addition is offset, and I think that's clearly a good move, not only for the mass and the display, but it helps with Secretary of the Interior's what's new, what's original, and what's addition. So thanks for that tiny little move.
Okay. Can we have a roll call?
Chair Branch?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member Iman is recused. Member King?
Aye.
Member White?
Aye.
Very good. Good luck. Good luck with your SCD.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. For this next item, item C2, I will have to recuse myself as this project is in my office.
Are you ready, Ms. Collier?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. I will announce the third item, or the last item on our agenda today, 370 Stork Road, and ask Ms. Collier to read the item into the record.
Item C2, 370 Stork Road, APN 073-100-008, Fuel Depot Revised Canopy, with California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption, utilizing Section 15311, Case Number 24-0010-DRB.
Very good, and I'll call for board members to make their declarations.
Go ahead. No visitation, no ex parte.
I made a site visit and had no ex parte discussions.
A virtual site visit, no ex parte.
A site visit, no ex parte.
I made a site visit for the last time we saw this project, a different project. And I had a nice email from a telephone conversation with Mr. Price concerning the lighting plan. And I took a look at it and sent him some comments back on it. And I'll reveal those comments today. And that was it.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. So if we could have Ms. Chang make a staff presentation on the item, please.
Yes, thank you, Member Whalen. I'll set the stage by saying what is on the site. So for a long time, it was a coffee shop, drive-through coffee shop with a car wash, as some of you may recall. A few years ago, the owner applied for a fuel station to remove the car wash area and place the fuel station in that location. That came to you a few years ago for review. It's under construction now, actually close to completion. And then last year, the owner came in with a land use permit for a car wash. So that's the replacement car wash that's behind the fuel station. So that's what's taking place on site. The car wash is under plan checking and should be under construction soon. So what's before you today is the gas station was approved with three small canopies over the fuel tanks. Now is being proposed with a larger canopy to encompass the whole entire fuel station area. And the canopy is now 3,885 square feet. It's has canopy lighting that will be downward and inward facing and shielded to limit light spillage into the neighboring properties. It's dark sky compliant. And as Member Brown mentioned, she did review the lighting plan, made some comments, and what's before you is the updated lighting plans. So I'm sure the applicant owner would like to tell you what the intent is, but I'm going to go ahead and just mention, since it's in your staff report, the intent of having a larger canopy is to cover the entire fueling station to keep the customers out of elements such as rain and sun, to better control rainwater through a gutter and downspout system, and ultimately that is to prevent fuel residue in the island area to spill into the stormwater. So those are good reasons. This canopy will take the overall site square footage over 5,000 square feet, which then triggers a development plan. So there is a development plan required for the canopy, and that is a zoning administrator approval process. So what we're asking for is a recommendation to the zoning administrator for this project. And there is a video when you're ready, Mr. Price or Ms. McCon, then we can run that. I have that available. So that concludes
Why don't we have the applicant team introduce themselves and then we'll run the video. Mr. Price, want to?
Gallery of Macon, my daughter turned to home.
Please remember to speak into the microphones for the public record.
Excuse me, could you use the microphones, please?
I don't have one, I'll share.
Yes, I'm Gallery Macon, the land use agent, and I'm here with John Price and Jordan Dehone. So thank you, Mary. That was a great presentation. And just want to add, the canopy is also going to allow for solar for the future. So that's also a big consideration. Unfortunately, there was a little mishap and the updated photometrics that were submitted didn't get printed. So they were submitted. We did do them. So we have them, but it's not what's before you right now. But we did address some comments and make some changes.
Mr. Price, we need you on the microphone.
It's okay.
In these conversations.
Do you want to point out what the updates were? Or is that something Member Brown wants to discuss? Okay.
Okay. In terms of presentation, I mean, the canopy is in line with the existing coffee shop. And now they're all sort of oriented in the same direction. The prior car wash was facing, what is this, east or north-south. And so now it's sort of all in alignment. The lighting does not exceed the 0.1 foot candles at the property line. The video that we've provided, there's a lighting controller that's part of the canopy lights that dim after hours to 35%. And if someone comes in and the lighting controller brightens up to 70%. And both of those are still below the 0.1 foot candle, but it does have a nice effect so that it's not always lit. And we have that video so you can see it. It's not for here, obviously. It's at the station in Summerlin that has been installed. and it's worked really well. Other than that, we're here for questions and comments.
Do you want to run that video?
Sure.
Yeah, that'll be part of your presentation.
So I'm going to run it. Can it, they need to see it.
Get ready.
I'll add that Summerlin was very, very sensitive with light.
No, and so, this is, I mean, isn't this a share screen? If you're
on your one appeal after another, and we work our way through it, and these lights, what they do is they go to sleep, and they see motion, and they wake up for a certain amount of time. Okay, customer drives off, they go back to sleep. So they're really. Is this open 24 hours? Yes. A big thing for us is safety. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So I will play this video and with the car approaching, then I'm going to fast forward because this gentleman takes about 2 minutes to fill his gas tank. So,
yes, Mary, you can just pull the...
I don't know if...
You can, where the orange line is going through, if you just drag
that.
No,
I know. I was just showing. Did everyone catch the light coming on when the car drove up? Okay, so I'm going to go until he's done.
You might also orient us, which way are we looking, east or west?
This is not the gas station.
This is at a Summerlin gas station.
That's helpful.
Yes.
Here, let me.
So it's just to demonstrate the
lighting.
It would
be the same lighting controller. Mayor, if you just drag that over, you can see it better when it's sort of faster than slower.
We'll have the effect here as he drives away.
So at the Summerlin, There are lights outside of the canopy too, and those stay on.
There, the lights just dimmed after he left.
Okay.
So that was a demonstration to show the light coming on when the car approached, and
it gets a
lights
little
going
darker
off
as well.
Okay,
it gets a little darker as well. It goes from, I guess, three levels.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Well, with that, I think we can move to public comments, Ms. Collier, if there are any.
I have no speaker slips for this item, and there are no members of the public joining us via Zoom.
Very good. From there, we'll move to board questions and comments. And Jim, why don't you start us off?
I have no questions, no comments.
All right, I'll jump to the other end of the table. Elizabeth, do you have any comments or questions?
No questions, no comments.
All right, Cecilia, you're on.
Yes, thank you. So the last time we saw this, I'm sort of confused about the new, the pole lights. Are they different from what we saw in our last project? Oh, they're exactly the same.
Yes.
Oh, okay, and in the same position?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so that's unchanged. So all of this is unchanged. Okay, it's just the canopy. Okay, under lights, okay. And I think someplace we talked about the dimming lights in the staff report somewhere. I read that, right? Someplace in the documentation here that the lights are being...
It'll be in our project description, and I'm sure it'll be in the staff report.
Okay. Right, and did you get the max min, the ratio? The maximum, the ratio of the lights? No, it's okay if you didn't. That's fine.
Yeah, we did.
You did? Okay, so it's in that the new documents.
The new documents.
Yeah, okay, didn't see. Okay.
I wanted to get it emailed to you first because I know you're
okay,
there.
Yeah, I just haven't, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
I should have called you to follow up.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much for doing that. You'll want to make sure, they're on your new lighting plan. Okay, perfect.
And by the way, you are absolutely right, having a local like Alan Knoll do it day and night.
These two guys, the one, this guy and the other guy,
they totally get it. And you can't use out of town people because whatever. So I appreciate you are using them. Your lighting plans look good. It's nice to review them. All the information is good. We try to be a dark sky city here, and it's the use of the 3,000 Kelvin, which has gotten greater acceptance over time. A lot of under canopy lights are 5K because they want that really bright light, but bright light doesn't necessarily mean it's safer or anything. There's more glare. It's sometimes harder to see that 5K because it's bluer light. Anyway, so I just...
We're definitely after safety, number one.
Right. So this is good, and it's a good light level, and I appreciate what you've done. We've seen quite a few of your projects, and so thank you. And
thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Mr. Iman?
No comments or questions.
Mr. Gasis?
I have a question that has nothing to do with aesthetics, but the runoff off the canopy is going into the planters, or is it going into a stormwater system?
Stormwater system. A very extensive stormwater system, I should add.
For you. So I think it looks fine, and I would find it very approvable.
All right. First, a couple of my own comments. There's quite a bit of site activity now, and I know you've come before us a number of times, and the plan has changed. But to be clear, this proposal is just about the canopy and the lighting. Right. And did I understand you correctly that photovoltaics are not included at this point? No, they are, or no, they aren't.
They are not, but they will be equipped to include in the future.
Very good. That seems like a perfectly reasonable proposal that's well thought out and meets the lighting guidelines. And thanks for the attention of Ms. Brown on that. So I think we can move to a motion, and I'll just go ahead and make a motion to recommend to the zoning director that the project be approved as proposed and recommend the adoption of the DRB and our CEQA findings that are provided. All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second, so we're ready for a roll call vote. Ms. Collier?
Member White?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Yes. Well, thanks very much. Good to
nice
see you again.
This is my favorite place to come.
Well,
yeah, it really is.
We'll have a name tag made for you soon. All right. And
well, that's important too, by the way.
You can take those. Can you?
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
And with that, I will call for any announcements by members or staff. Ms. Chang?
Yes, I suppose I should mention that Member Iman, this is his last meeting. Yeah, we're very sad to see him leave the board. Want to really extend our gratitude for your service, and we hope to see you back. Actually, so.
Well, where's the cake?
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then the other item is Member Clinton is now been transferred into an alternate position, largely because she does have some issues with the plan review that we've been, she has some allergies due to the printing, and so Member White is now a permanent member.
Very good.
And we will introduce the new member at your next meeting.
I'd like to just say something about Mr. Iman. You know, when we were reviewing the Sextant House, he provided a lot of valuable information, historical information, and I don't think we would have gotten that from any other source. And I think maybe it was nice for the project that we knew that, and then we could respond to it. So I did want to really thank you for your letting us know and your participation. It's really helpful to have community members who know the area and know about the projects more than just, oh, here, I just read the staff report. So thank you, Jonathan. We hope to see you around.
Thank
you.
Maybe
you'll comment on projects as you stay.
Yeah, thank you all. It was an honor to be a part of this team, and I will be keeping my eyes open for future openings. And I think it's, I want to thank you all for your contribution to the community. You know, it's really important that we fought hard to get to not be part of Santa Barbara County in terms of having a say in the sort of community we want to be. And without community volunteers serving as you all have been, many of you much longer than I did, I think we would suffer from the loss of that input. So thanks for letting me be part of the team for a hope to rejoin you at some point in the future.
And I would like to add that it's always rejuvenating and enervating to have community members take an interest in areas that they may not have expertise and watch them grow and develop and make salient comments. So that's not only for your benefit, Mr. Amen, but for ours too. So thank you. And with that, I think we can adjourn the Design Review Board for Tuesday, April 9th.